Good afternoon and welcome to the quarterly All-In Payments Call. My name is Catherine Jett. I'm the TPM Project Coordinator and your moderator for today's call. We're so looking forward to an informative presentation today, but before we get started with logistics, I have to advise everyone this call is being recorded and transcription is being captured. Next slide, please. Thank you. For the logistics for the call, the recording, transcript, recap, and PowerPoint presentation will be available on the Your Ticket to Work website. A Gov delivery message will be sent out that information has been posted during the open Q&A. Now, if you're joining via the phone and you wish to ask a question, we're going to ask you to raise your hand utilizing *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. Then you'll press *6 to unmute yourself. If joining on the MS Teams application, you'll click the raise hand, which is just above the top of your screen, to ask a question, and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. And you'll have access to both your audio and video today. Please feel free to ask a question in the MS Teams chat section. Please limit your questions to one participant and do not duplicate questions. Any additional questions or comments can be sent to the EM Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Closed captioning is available for participants who join using the MS Teams application, or you can utilize the separate closed caption link provided in the chat. To turn on closed captions in Teams, go to the three ellipses at the top of the MS Teams window, click on More Actions, and go down to turn on Live Captions. When using the link options, paste the link in the browser. It will open up a separate window to view closed captions. Thank you in advance for your participation. Next slide, please. We are on our agenda for today. We have the welcome and updates from Jocelyn Greenidge, our Senior Program Director for the Ticket Program Manager for Social Security's Ticket to Work Program. We have a presentation by Kimberly Cutler, Ticket Operations Manager for the Ticket Program Manager for Social Security's Ticket to Work Program. She'll discuss ePay file stats, ePay reminders, submitting proof of relationship form, the POR form, the work number report, resources, and we'll have our Q&A forum. Next slide, please. And at this time, I'd like to welcome Jocelyn Greenidge, our Senior Program Director for TPM. Take it away, Jocelyn.
Thank you, Catherine. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our All EN Payments Call. I want to take a moment to welcome you guys again and share some announcements and staffing changes on the TPM side, specifically with the ticket operations team. I believe last time we were all together, our ticket operations manager, Janelle Bratcher, was with us. I wanted to let you know that she is no longer with TPM. She's moved on. However, we do have our new ticket operations manager, as some of you have already noticed in the welcome slide and agenda, Ms. Kimberly Cutler. She has been with the TPM program in payments, as you all are aware, for a number of years. This promotion, well worth it, and it should be as no surprise to some of you, as she served in the capacity of the EN Payment Manager, will now be officially in the role of the Ticket Operations Manager. So I want to say welcome and congratulations, and we're so glad to have Kimberly serve in this capacity and to continue on with TPM. We are in the process of working on a replacement for Kimberly. And once that has been filled, we will announce it to you all as well, who the new EN Payment Manager will be. With that being said, I'll turn the meeting over to our Ticket Operations Manager, Ms. Kimberly Cutler.
Thank you so much, Jocelyn. It's such an honor. Working in the EN Payment still is just an honor for me. So I appreciate the acknowledgement. And I'm not going anywhere. So I'm still going to be involved in EN Payments. But thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I just want to say thank you all again for joining today's All EN Payments Call. We do have a few agenda topics that we're going to go over, so I'm going to go ahead and move right into our presentation for today. And we will go ahead and start with our ePay file stats. So TPM and SSA, we did complete the January ePay file was completed in March. And from that ePay file, we actually processed 18,751 claims. There were 5,125 SSNs processed, and the amount that we paid for that January e-pay file was a little over $10 million. And so that was the January file. And I'm happy to announce that SSA, we have started processing the next e-pay file. So our April e-pay file, we started processing actually on yesterday. So we were able to announce that today. We finished one in March and we're right on schedule. And we went ahead and started the next e-pay file yesterday. And staying in line with e-pay, we'll move to the next slide. Just want to make sure that we're providing you all with some e-pay reminders. Please just remember that phase one milestone 4, phase two milestones, and outcomes, those are the payment types that are paid via e-pay. So EN should not submit for these payment types via the ticket portal without attaching earnings evidence while the EN portion of the e-pay file is being processed. So as I mentioned, those are the payment types that are paid via e-pay. However, if you do have those payment types, but you have evidence of earnings, so you're not relying on the portal to say earnings are already verified, you actually have evidence of earnings. So you have your pay stubs, or you have the employer prepared earnings statement, you have the work number. If you have evidence of earnings, please feel free to submit. But if not, please note that those payment types, phase one milestone 4, phase two milestones, and outcomes, we will pay those available claims on the e-pay file. And if you are to submit for such payments, those payment types during the e-pay file, well, when we're processing the EN portion, it slows down the processing time and it causes a duplicate claim month. So if the claim month is, you know, it's already on e-pay file, right? We're gonna pay it as long as we have the earnings and all the criteria are met. We will make that payment. But if you're submitting that same payment type via the portal, it slows processing down and it also causes duplication in work. If you submit a request via the portal for phase one milestones 4, phase two milestones, or outcomes without attaching earnings evidence during e-pay when we're processing the EN tab, that SSN will not be processed until it comes up on the e-pay file. So that's why we're asking you guys just to wait, let the e-pay take its course. Because if you are submitting such payment types while we're processing the EN tab of the e-pay file, it may take more than 30 days for SSA to process your request. Right. And we don't want that because we normally process all payment requests within 30 days. But again, if you're requesting those phase one milestone 4, phase two milestones, or outcomes without attaching evidence of earnings, that your payment may take more than 30 days to process, because we're not going to process it while we're processing e-pay. And please remember that EANs must submit payment requests for phase one milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. So those payment types are not picked up during e-pay. You will need to submit them through the portal and with proof of relationship. And we also wanted to just remind you all that proof of relationship must be faxed in at the same time as the payment request. So you do not get that 9 days to submit your proof of relationship. Proof of relationship should come when you request your phase one milestones 1 through 3. So we know you have to go back in the portal and you have to, retrieve your the fax cover sheet, but that should be done. As soon as you submit for your payment request for phase one milestones 1 through 3, you should also submit submit proof of relationship. Because you do not have the 9 business days, we do not perform an outreach for that information. If the information is not included at the time of the request, whenever staff start to process that request, your request will be denied. So just make sure that you have all of the information ready, your earnings information, your proof of relationship documentation. Just make sure that you have that ready so you're submitting all that information together. All right, because we don't want your payments for phase one milestones 1 through 3 to be denied because you're requesting for payment on Monday and you're not submitting your proof of relationship until Thursday or Friday. We want to make sure that we're processing those cases through. So make sure you have that information ready. Also note that unassigned tickets are not included in ePay, and ENs must have passed their annual services and support reviews to be eligible for ePay. And we'll continue with reminders on the next slide. And the ePay file is processed in SSN order, not by your provider ID or your PID. So please remember, you know, I let you guys know that we've started processing the EN tab. There was a Gov delivery message that went out letting you guys know that we're processing the EN tab. Also, there was a note in the portal alerting you guys that we're processing the EN tab. And so just remember that we've started processing. So you may not see payments going to your EN right away. But again, remember, it's an SSN order, not by PID, your PID, sorry. And just remember, initial personal identifiable information violations, or PII, will remove your EN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file, because normally we process the ePay file every quarter. And so if you have a PII violation, that's going to, the initial PII violation will remove your EN from ePay for 3 months or that one ePay file. So if there is a PII violation and your EN is removed from the ePay file, you must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. And that's all payment requests, right? Phase one milestones, one, phase twos, and outcomes, you must submit those through the portal. And PII violations will remove your EN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file, as we mentioned. So an example, if your EN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, so let's say we started the ePay file in April, right? So let's say that you have a PII violation in May. So your EN will be removed from the next ePay file, which is scheduled for July. I'm sorry. So if there's a PII violation and we're already in the midst of processing the ePay file and your EN is there, you'll stay on that file, but then your EN will be removed from the next file. And so we're just asking and providing all of these reminders that you just please allow TPM and SSA to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting via the ticket portal. Again, you know, those phase one milestone four, your phase twos and your outcomes that are available, the file will pick those payments up. There's nothing that you guys have to do, but we do ask that you just let the ePay file take its course. And once we've completed the EN tab of the ePay file, again, we will notify you guys, right? So we'll update the portal so you will know that we're done with that. And then you can resume submitting for your payments. So we just ask that you kind of help us out with that and let the ePay file take its course. Moving to the next slide. So the next agenda topic we wanted to talk about was submitting proof of relationship or your POR form. Kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, right? But just remember that ENs must provide proof of relationship with ticket holders when requesting payments for phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three, when using qualifying earnings from the work number report, the employee prepared earnings statement, or earnings already proven in SS database. So we want to just make sure that you guys know when that proof of relationship form is required. And proof of relationship is determined by pay stubs or a completed proof of relationship or POR form. Now, if you submit pay stubs, that's a standalone. So your pay stubs will serve as your evidence of earnings, and the pay stubs will also serve as your proof of relationship. If you're not submitting your pay stubs, so you're submitting the work number or you're basing the information on earnings already proven in SSA's database, then you must submit a completed POR form. And that POR form, you must list all of the services provided to the ticket holder during the requested milestone period. So please make sure on that POR form, you're providing the date that the service was provided and a description or explanation of the services that you actually provided during that milestone period. So please make sure you guys are submitting that when you're requesting those phase one milestones one through three. And when submitting the POR form, Again, EINs must submit the form with their payment request at the time of submission. Again, you do not have 9 business days to send in the form. Please make sure you're submitting it at one time so we're processing a complete payment request and we're not having to deny it because we didn't receive the proof of relationship. And just remembering, you do not have 9 business days. It should come with the request. And again, I mentioned this, so just make sure you have all the information ready when you're requesting your payment. All right, moving on to the next slide. This is just a continuation of submitting proof of relationship form. What you would need to do, because we wanted to make sure that EINs are aware of the process of how to generate the fax cover sheet, because I mentioned a couple slides back that, you know, once you submit your request, then you need to go make sure you're generating that fax cover sheet. So what we're providing here, and again, this is if you are relying on earnings from the portal, right? So you get that message that says earnings already proven. You want to make sure that you're selecting no under add earnings. And we gave you a little, you see the screenshot here. So there's no need, if you're going based on earnings already proven, then you do not have earnings to add. So you want to make sure that you're select no here. Now, on the flip side, if you are submitting pay stubs, you do not need to submit the POR form. We talked about that, right? That the pay stub, that's a standalone. So if you have pay stubs and you're not relying on the earnings from the portal, then you're going to select yes to add earnings. So if you're using earnings already proven in the portal, you're going to select no to add earnings. If you're submitting pay stubs, you do not need the POR, right? So, but you do need to select yes for adding earnings. Okay, moving to the next slide. And we're still on the same line with the proof of relationship form. Oh, we're going to go back. Yep, there we are. Now, once you've submitted your claim, this is what we talked about, right? You submit your payment request. You need to go generate that fax cover sheet so you can submit your POR form. So once you've submitted the payment, you're going to go to the pending payments for me screen. This is all in your portal. You're going to find the submitted SSA reference number, and you're going to click actions link. So you can see in the screenshot here, you're on the pending payments for me screen. You're going to find your SSA reference number, because whenever you create a payment, right, when you submit a payment, you're going to get a reference number for that case. So now you're going to go find that reference number and you're going to click actions. Next slide. And once you click action, then you're going to select fax additional information. And you can see here. So once you click action, now you're going to go down and select fax additional information. And then you're going to see it's going to give you a list of different documents that you could possibly submit. So you're going to select proof of relationship form. So I just want to make sure you guys are taking your time when you're submitting or when you're selecting the document type. Please make sure when you're submitting the proof of relationship form that is the form that you're selecting, right? Because sometimes we do get mislabeled forms that come in. So you just want to make sure that what you're submitting is what we see, right? So you select fax additional information, and then you're going to get your drop down for the documents, and you're going to make sure you click proof of relationship form to generate that fax cover sheet that will come with your payment request. So now we're not having to deny your request, because you don't have that documentation that's needed for your phase one milestones 1 through 3. So just want to give you a little snapshot of that and how to generate that fax cover sheet for submitting your POR. And it should come as soon as you submit your request, you created your case, you get the reference number. Please make sure you go back and take those actions to fax additional information and that you're selecting the correct document type for associating that with your payment request. All right, and next slide. So that was the proof of relationship form, right? So the next topic that we're going to go into is the work number report. The work number report is an acceptable source of earnings when requesting for EIN payments only if all required information is provided on the report. Now, we've received some questions in the past about the report, and please just note that it is acceptable. The work number is an acceptable source of earnings, but it must include all of the required information. So we have received some reports that do not have the required information. And here you see the list of items that the report must include, right? The ticket holder's name, ticket holder's SSN, employer's name, employer's address. We need the pay period end date. We need the pay date, hours worked, gross earnings, and net earnings. This is what a complete work number report looks like, or what it should include. If the work number is missing the net earnings, the document is not acceptable. And that's what we're seeing a lot of, is that we're getting that work number report, but it does not have net earnings. Please know at that point, it's no longer an acceptable source of earnings, right? So if it does not include the work net earnings, then the document is not accepted. The case will be denied. Okay, moving to the next slide, still talking about the work number report. And we just mentioned that, or I just mentioned that, if you receive a work number report without net earnings information, the report cannot be used as earnings evidence by itself. So let me just kind of clean that up. So if the work number does not have the net earnings, remember I said it wasn't accepted, it's not accepted alone. So it can't come by itself. You would have to include a supplement or earnings statement or the SES form. Now, that's the difference. So again, just want to clean that up from the previous slide. If the work number does not include the net earnings, it's not acceptable by itself, right? You would have the work number, which is serving as your evidence of earnings, but now we have to have the supplement or earnings statement form, right? That has to be completed and signed by the employer. Because what the employer will do by completing this form and signing this form, they are attesting that all withholdings required by law have been made from the employee's earnings. This is huge because, again, the work number is you're using that as evidence of earnings, but if it does not have all of the required information, right? If it does not have the net earnings, then to make that document allowable, if that makes sense, or acceptable, is you would have to now send in the supplemental earnings statement, and the supplemental earnings statement must be completed and signed by the employer, not an EN representative. EN representative cannot sign this document. The employer, they're the only ones that can attest to the earnings. So they are filling out the document, and you can find that document on our website under forms. So you're going to submit that supplemental earnings statement. You're going to have the employer, complete it, sign it, date it, check the box, because as you can see here, the box is actually saying by checking this box and signing above, the employer attests that all withholdings required by law have been made from the employee's earnings, right? So completed, signed, box checked by the employer. Now, if we receive the supplemental earnings statement and the EN representative signs the form, then the form will be denied. Your case will be denied because it's clear here, employer representative name and signature and date, and that the employer is checking the box. So if the EN representative signs the SES form, the case will be denied, and the denial that you will see for that form or for that case, the denial reason would be insufficient documentation. Your denial comment would be supplement or earnings statement or SES form was signed by EN representative. The SES form must be completed and signed by the employer. So we wanted to provide that denial reason and denial comment because we know you guys can also see you can see the reason and the comment. So we wanted to make sure it was very clear, right? So we're not going to accept the work number if the net earnings are not provided, and we're not going to accept the supplemental earnings statement that's signed by the EN representative. So we wanted to make sure that you have this information and that we were clear about what's accepted when it comes to the work number and the supplemental earnings statement form. Okay, next slide. And so what we've provided is just what an acceptable work number report looks like and what an unacceptable work number report looks like. So the first one is an acceptable work number report because, as you can see here, the net earnings are included. Now, of course, this is an addition of all the other information, is there the beneficiary, the ticket holder's name, social security number, that information. And usually that's fine. What we're mainly seeing that causes a denial of case to deny the case is that the work number does not have the net earnings. So this is just a snippet of the bottom part of the work number that provides us with the earnings information. So you'll see the first one is an acceptable work number report because the net earnings are provided. The bottom one is an unacceptable work number report because the net earnings are not provided. So in this case, in the second part, the second one, if you were to submit the work number that looks like this, right, where the net earnings are not provided, first thing we look at is not acceptable because the net earnings are not there. And then you submit the supplemental earnings statement and it is signed by the employer. They've attested the withholdings were made. Then we would be able to process the case if all other payment criteria are met, right? But the difference is if you submit this work number without the net earnings, and then we look at the supplemental earnings statement and it's signed by the EN representative, case will be denied. So just wanted you to kind of see what we look for in the earnings, making sure the net earnings are there, and what we sometimes see that's unacceptable where we do not have the net earnings. All right, next slide. And so those were the main two things that we wanted to cover today, right? The ePay reminders. We wanted to cover the submitting your proof of relationship or your POR form, and also when submitting the supplemental earnings statement, making sure that it's completed by the employer, and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable when it comes to the work number report. So those were the agenda topics that we've covered today. Now, we also want to invite you to share topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum. And our goal is, of course, to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. But we also would like to hear from you. So again, if you do have some topics that you would like for us to discuss during this forum, EN payment topics, of course, please make sure you're emailing those topics to our help desk, which is the EN payments help desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. You can see that here on the screen. And next slide. And of course, we always want to let you guys know about the amazing resources that we have available to you guys. If you have questions, so you can always call. There's the hours of operation, and you have that toll-free number there. And then just depending on what resource you're looking for, right? So you have your different options here to choose. Of course, for payments, EN payments, you want to do option two. And also you can email us. You can email us for payment related issues. You have your email address there at EN Payments Help Desk. And if you have questions or issues related to ticket assignment or the service provider website or the ticket portal, then you also have your website's address listed there. And please remember, you cannot email any personal identifiable information, cannot be in the body of the email, cannot be as an attachment, cannot be password protected. So please remember that. And of course, if you have payment related questions, use your SSA reference number when you're emailing the help desk. We can always look up your cases that way. Or again, please feel free to call the help desk. And I think that is my portion so far of the agenda. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Catherine Jett so we can start our Q&A form.
Awesome. Catherine. Thank you, Kim, for those informative updates. We really appreciate that. Now, everyone, we're to our Q&A session. If we'll go ahead and go to the next slide, please. For everyone that is joining via the phone, if you'll raise your hand by pressing *5 if you'd like to ask a question. We will unmute you and then press *6 to unmute yourself. If you're on the MS Teams application, you can click the raise hand icon, which is at the top of your screen, and you'll be unmuted and we'll give you access to your audio and your video, and just state your EN name, your name, and ask your question. So at this time, we'll go to Rebecca to see if we have any hands raised. Rebecca?
Yes, thank you, Catherine. We actually do have our first question coming from Jackie Guest. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like and ask your question.
That was Jackie.
Jackie?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, very good. Thank you. I see why other people have trouble with that now. okay, thank you very much. I'm with No Limits, Eanna, Maryland. I have a question about, we had a recent denial when we sent in proof of earnings from the work number. It had all the necessary information, the net earnings on it. Our ticket holder is not the greatest at submitting their pay stubs to SSA, so SSA local didn't have them. So we sent in the request and we were denied, even though this ticket holder was well over SGA for the months that we put in for the claim, but it was denied because the ticket holder was in benefits or in suspense due to, we're not in suspense. Wait a minute, I'm saying that wrong. Anyway, it was saying that it was still being paid out benefits. So, but we sent in proof of earnings, and I'm confused with that because if we send in proof of earnings to you, we're not supposed to send them into the local office to save them the paperwork, but isn't the work number the same thing as proof of earnings as if we were sending in pay stubs?
The work number is, hi, this is Kimberly. The work number report is, as I mentioned, is an acceptable source of earnings as long as the information is there. And you said it did have the net earnings and information, yes. But you were requesting, yes, for an outcome payment, correct?
They were, yeah, he's at outcome 50, milestone outcome 50 at this point. He's almost through our program and he did not work during that period. There was a gap and then he started working again. So,
right. So if it was denied, if I heard you correct, if it was denied, you requested an outcome payment and you said it, they're still receiving a federal cash benefit?
No.
Oh, they're not.
He shouldn't have been. He was not submitting his pay stubs like he should have been.
Okay. So that's a little different.
Sending in the proof, doesn't that cover that?
Well, if you're sending in evidence of earnings, that's one thing. But we process based on real time and what we're showing in SSA's database. So even though you were submitting earnings that probably would have, you know, like you said, it's above SGA, you were submitting an outcome payment. But if at the time that we were processing the payment, if it was showing that the ticket holder was in current pay, which means he or she was still receiving their federal cash benefits, then we could not process your outcome. So it was denied because of that, not because of the work number. But so whatever earnings you sent in, right, we do key that information. We enter that information into our system. But there are different denial reasons. So this wasn't because of earnings or the documentation. It was because of the benefit status. So that was different. And like you said, if he wasn't submitting his information to the field office, so that's maybe why he was still receiving his benefits or his cash benefits, not sure. I would definitely have the client follow up with their local field office because, again, for us, when we process payments, we're basing it on real time and whatever's in SSA's database. So that's why, to me, it seems like the case was denied. But you could definitely reach out to the help desk and get probably all the details of the case. But just based on what you said, it looks like it. That's why it was denied.
Yeah, it was just confusing because we are sending in the proof of earnings.
Right, and we're entering in the system, but again, and our system does communicate with the local field office, but like I said, it could be something else. So I would just have the client follow up with their local field office.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your question.
Rebecca, can we identify the next hand raised?
Yes, our next question is coming from Maryland New Direction. Your audio and video are active now. You can click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Good afternoon, ladies. My name is Sonia Harrison and I'm calling from Maryland New Directions. We're in Baltimore. And I'm very frustrated. So I have several denials. Denied benefits. I am doing the same thing your last person is doing. My participants, normally, I get their pay stubs the first month that they start work. And then I enter them into the portal. I get my reference letter, my reference number. I'm putting it under phase one, milestone one. And almost every time I do this, it's being denied.
Okay. So just making sure you have your pay stub information, you're going through the portal, you're requesting phase one, milestone ones, like you said, and your case is being denied.
Yes.
Do you know, is it being denied because of look back earnings?
No, it's so most of my denial codes are like 04, 30, 43. So it's saying, like, for instance, the earnings are below the required trial work amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So am I not supposed to submit them, because how much money are they supposed to make for me to submit the pay stubs?
That's a very good question. So in order to make the payment for phase one, milestone one, the ticket holder must have earned trial work level in that requested claim month. Of course, if it's phase twos or outcomes, you're looking at SGA level amount. So if the case is, you know, if your case for phase one milestone ones, they're being denied because it does not meet the earnings requirement, then that simply means, you know, that, and I'm just giving as an example, you know, you're asking for January 2023. And if the earnings amount are not there for that month, the trial work level earnings amount are not there, then yes, your case will be denied. And you might just want to make sure that when you're submitting your request, you know, if it's a paycheck where they've, you know, earned in the month or, you know, paid in the month, those are all things that come into play. And so if you have it where they started in one month and the pay period rolls into the next month, right, then it goes into some earnings going towards one month and the other month. So there are different factors that come into play when you're submitting your pay stubs. But I would strongly suggest just kind of reach out to the help desk. That's what they are there for, to be able to really explain those denials. So the comments, you know, I think a couple of years back, we SSA started allowing ENs to see the comments for denial, right? So like you said, if it's telling you that it just didn't meet trial work level earnings, then I would suggest reaching out to the help desk to find out exactly what's going on with that. Because if it's not meeting, and then, you know, because we actually enter that information into the system, and if it's not there, then that's why the case is being denied. But they have to meet trial work level for your requested claim month. So when you're asking for phase one, milestone one, right, they have to have trial work level earnings for that month. If you're asking for phase one, milestone two, then you have to have trial work level for each month in that milestone period.
I have one more question. So. Sure. Should every participant that I'm working with, and I get their pay stubs, do all participants go in phase one, milestone one, when they first get the job?
Yeah, so that is again, factors that come into that too. But if you're doing payments in order, and if you don't have one, yeah. I would suggest if you check the Ticket to Work website under resources, there's the payments at a glance.
I have that. Mm-hmm.
That you said you do?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very helpful too, to tell you the order. Now, there are some cases, there may be times when, you know, yeah, you start out with the phase one, milestone one. That's the initial request. But there are different exclusions that may come into play where you're not eligible for phase one, milestone ones, right? VR involvement, prior earnings. So then you would move to whatever the next available payment is based off of that exclusion. But yes, that's where you initially start. When they start working, that's where you're looking at, is your phase one, milestone one, unless there are exclusions. So again, you know, that payments at a glance you have, which is helpful. The 18-month look back to also on the website is very helpful, because meeting with your client, you know, and getting prior earnings information will help you populate that form. And then that will kind of tell you too, based on the previous earnings information, it may show you which phase one milestones you're not eligible for. So definitely use your 18-month look back tool. Definitely make sure you're finding out if your beneficiaries had any VR involvement prior to assigning the ticket to your agency, because that could exclude some milestones as well.
Okay. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And hang in there. It seems like you're getting the earnings information, which is really good, but just.
I am.
Yeah. So hang in there. I know he said you were frustrated, but use those resources on the website. And of course, if you have any questions about the details of a certain case, please reach out to the help desk.
Now, is it possible for me to re-enter all these denial participants and then get paid for them?
If the payment criteria are met, yes. So if a case is denied, right? And you're looking, I'll use that January, for example. It was denied because we said we didn't have the trial work level earnings, but now you have additional earnings for January. And there aren't any exclusions, then yes, please resubmit your payment request. Just make sure you have all the required information, remember.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, Rebecca, can we identify another caller?
Yes, our next caller is Kathy. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video, and please ask your question.
Hi, thank you very much. Kathy DeRusso, I'm with Best Buddies International, and I think Kimberly is the first person that ever helped me figure stuff out. I recognize you right away. I think it was at a NINA conference. I am getting there, but what we discovered very recently based on my own request to speak to somebody at Social Security was that all this time we thought we were on ePay and we were not. They don't know why. They researched it. They looked. They couldn't figure out why, but they got us back. Now we are on ePay. So I'm, super excited to see what happens at the end of this ePay. But I also don't want to do anything to mess that up. So I want to clarify, because I've been, trying to grow this program and training people internally and assign tickets. And so I want to make sure we're in a milestone outcome program. So now I'm understanding that what I need to do with new people, if I open the portal and I look and their earnings aren't in there, then I can request phase 1 through 3 by using a poor form instead of pay stubs?
I'm glad you asked the question. So no. So you have to always have earnings to satisfy the payment. That's the first thing. So the poor is only if you have the earnings to satisfy the payment, right? For phase one, milestone 1 through 3, then you're using the poor to establish proof of relationship. Because what you're telling us is I'm requesting this payment. I have the earnings there either through the pay stubs, the work number, or if earnings are already proven in the system, you have that earnings, but now you have to show proof of relationship. So the proof of relationship form does nothing by itself. So it does not replace earnings. You have to have earnings in addition to the poor. So you can submit for a phase one milestone 1 with just your earnings from a pay stub. That's a standalone. You don't need a poor. But if you're using any earnings other than a pay stub for phase one milestones 1 through 3, you must have the poor.
All right. That just cleared it up right there, because I didn't know what the heck you were talking about. Okay. So if it's something other than a pay stub. But I'm almost always going to have a pay stub. I mean, that's just what I request from my staff is, hey, I can't get a payment out of your person, even though they claim they're reporting it, they may not be. And I've actually even had people from Social Security say to me, they may be reporting their wages, but for some reason, it's not reflecting. I don't really understand what that means. But, I literally pushed through 6 figures worth of payments last year, even though we were supposed to be on ePay. So, now that we are, I'm excited. Might free up a little time on my end.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're back on ePay. But remember, even being on ePay, you still have to request your phase one milestones 1 through 3 through the portal.
Right. And that was early on a piece of it pre-COVID that nobody shared with me. So I was like, why aren't we getting any money yet? Because I had to like, you have to kind of like start the flow, kind of break the seal, so to speak. One more question, if I may. When you see a payment in the portal that says allowed, is it possible that number changes by the time it's paid?
The payment amount? The only way I would think that the payment amount would change if there was some type of overpayment.
Okay. I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm shocked. There's an allowed payment. It's a recon payment, but it's over $8,000. And again, it sounds like way too much money. I just don't think it's possible. I multiplied by 11, and that's just not possible. All
right. Yeah. Now, if it's a reconciliation payment, you're right. Now you've for this particular ticket holder, you know, you've received 12 outcome payments, and now you're and there were some phase ones and or phase two milestones that were missed, and so now you're getting those in reconciliation payments. So if you do get a large sum, it could be like you said, it's reconciliation payments. But if that amount changes, or, you know, you see a difference from allowed to when it clears, then that could possibly mean if you were in some type of an overpayment status, then funds could be deducted from that. But you will know if you're in overpayment status. You would receive some type of notification.
I don't think that we are. And this is a person that we placed, you know, above SGA from day one. You know, we assigned the ticket. He was already over SGA from day one. So, you know, again, I just think that because he's SSDI, there's only, 11 phase two milestone payments, you know, at 400 and whatever, 93, there's just no way that multiplies to 8,000. So I'm trying to figure out what all that money is. I mean, maybe by mistake, they're trying to give us the phase one milestone payments too. I don't know.
Could be. I would definitely reach out to the help desk and let them help you with that. But I want to make sure I
not going to turn down $8,000, but if it's not mine, I don't want it.
Yeah, please reach out and we can go from there.
All right. Thank you so much, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Rebecca, do we have another with their hands raised?
Yes, we do. Our next caller is Justin Baker. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Yes.
All right, fantastic. So hi, I'm Justin from good old Orange County. I have a kind of a two-part question. One is in relation to everyone here who does services and requests payments. What is the reasoning for when we are requesting payments, we have to be more diligent to make sure, you know, the pay stubs we're providing cover the month entirely? Because, you know, just because a participant or client, whoever, makes SGA, if we add up our calculations, it will be a different number because we have to use the estimator tool or whatever it's called. What is the reasoning for us having to use different numbers exactly when requesting payments on the ticket portal?
One of the reasons would be if your client is SSI or SSDI.
That's one of the big ones. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's your biggest one. So we want to make sure even on the estimator too, right? We're trying to give you just that snapshot so you can see, you know, where your earnings fall, earned in a month or paid in a month. So I think that's the biggest part. We want you guys to do your due diligence in knowing that information, right? What your client's receiving and how that plays when you're keying or entering your earnings. So I think that's the biggest part.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That's great. That makes much more sense because I was always confused on that. And then the second one relates to my particular issue. I have someone on my caseload who we were denied a set of phase one payments, 1 through 3. And the reason being because a VR agency had already been paid out for the services. However, looking at the previous assignments, we don't see any VR agency attached to the account. There was just another ticket program, which was actually the other half of our Goodwill program. Is that supposed to be a thing? Because we were just otherwise denied for no other program being on the ticket holder's assignment.
Right. So that is a true denial. So it is a thing. If the ticket holder was previously received services from the VR, then yes, a couple of things when it comes to VR. If they, you know, received services from the VR and the VR received the cost reimbursement payment, then that excludes all of phase one milestones from your agency. You will start with phase two milestones, right, when you sign the ticket. If the VR had the case and they closed the case successfully within 18 months prior to when the ticket was assigned to your agency, then that also excludes phase one milestones 1 through 4. And again, remembering, and I mentioned this earlier, we process based on what we see real time in SSA's database. So if it's denied, and you said phase one milestones 1 through 3, but if it was VR involvement, all four were denied.
I only requested 1 through 3, but it denied all four automatically.
Right. Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what that happens. And that's to help you out. So you don't have to say, oh, well, you denied phase one milestones 1 through 3. I'll go request 4 just for that to be denied. If we see that there is, and that's what we call an exclusion, right? So if we see that there are exclusions that take away all of your milestones, we will just go, even if you just apply request for 1, we're going to go in and deny all 4. That lets you know, like, hey, you know, you requested 1. Yeah. So there are 2 things when it comes to your VR involvement that would exclude phase one milestones 1 through 4. And then you would start with your phase two milestones at SGA level earnings.
Okay. So it's entirely based on the time frame for when they closed out of services from the VR agencies at 18 months. And then after those 18 months, if they are enrolled in our program and making SGA or TWL, then we would be able to bill for that on our end.
Correct? So 2 things. If they received services from the VR and the VR received the cost reimbursement payment, I think this was 2001 and after, right? If they received payment, if the VR received cost reimbursement, then phase one milestone ones are off the table.
No matter what.
If they closed the case successfully, so whether they got a cost reimbursement payment or not, but they closed the case successfully within 18 months prior to you assigning the ticket, then phase one milestones 1 through 4 are off the table. So those exclude, those are forever gone, right? So assigning tickets in those cases, then you would start with your phase two milestones. For each one of those scenarios, you would only be eligible for phase two milestones and then outcomes once benefits go into suspense.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Just confused, like, why wasn't the VR agency showing up on the ticket holder account? Sometimes they just won't, basically. Okay. Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Justin. All right, Rebecca, do we have another individual with their hands raised?
Yes, we do. We have Shannon. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, my name is Shannon Majewski. I'm with GenX Services. I just have 2 really quick questions. The 1099 employees for the 2021 taxes, how long does that typically take to show as earnings?
I could not answer that because that's not in our wheelhouse. Like, we don't handle that part of it. So I definitely couldn't give you a time frame because it wouldn't be right. It would be just a guess. So I'm not sure about that.
So just my other part to that question as well. I do have a ticket holder that I check periodically, and I had the earnings were established notation when I submitted for payment. And then I had all the for P1 M1 to P1 M4, the earnings were established. I submitted for the payment, but then was denied for everything. And when I called the EN help desk, they said because the earnings were not established in Social Security system, even though I had the notation that earnings were established.
And sometimes that happens. So sometimes you may see that the earnings were established and you request the payment, and we SSA, you know, they're able to see that those weren't work earnings or those earnings are not what we would need to satisfy the payment. So that's something, I don't think it happens often, but it does happen because it's where the the information is pulling from in the portal. And so it may, you know, again, it may pull from a source that's not verified, or the earnings do not fall within that milestone period that you're requesting. But that does happen sometimes, because so I just, you know, wanted to just make that blanket statement too, that, you know, if you get the message earnings already established in SSA's database, that does not guarantee payment. So we just wanted to mention that. So yeah, that does happen sometime, that the cases will be denied because the earnings, like I said, it's just aren't verified earnings, aren't earnings from work, different reasons on the back end.
Okay, I just wanted to verify. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. And Rebecca, do we have one more that we can take?
Yes, we do. We have Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sandy Abbott. I'm from Abbott and Associates Financial Services, LLC. And my question is, I have a beneficiary who's receiving child disability benefits in addition to her being disabled, and I called today to Social Security to determine where she was in the Ticket to Work program, and they're giving me two separate numbers, like she's used 2 months out of one and 7 months out of another. And so my question is, when we're billing for this particular person, what is the right number to use to determine where she is in the trial work period?
Now, as far as where they are in the trial work period, again, that's not something that TPM that comes into play when we're processing payments. What we look for with processing payments, you know, you're talking about the trial work period, but what we look for is the month that you're asking for. We're looking at trial work level or SGA. We don't look at, like you were saying, 1 out of 5, 1 out of 7. That's not in our, under our scope of what we do. So that's something, again, that would have a discussion with the field office or with the client, with the field, find out from the field office about where they are in their trial work period. We just look for trial work level earnings. So regardless of where they are in that period, we're just looking for the earnings. So unfortunately, I can't provide information about how you find out where they are, not on this side. That would be something that I would definitely encourage ticket holders to reach out to the field office.
Okay, and then my second question is for the 1099 people. Say, like, for example, they submit their earnings on a monthly basis to you prior to them doing their tax preparation. Do we have to wait a year if we know that a particular month or months that they have gone over SGA, or can we bill the same year, or do we have to wait a year?
Yep. If they are self-employed, that's called a certification payment, and we no longer accept those types of payments. So yes, if it's a self-employed beneficiary, so you're based on self-employed income, then yes, we have to wait until the earnings are filed, the IRS information is posted, you know, that we can see that as verified earnings in our system. So yes, ma'am, if you're working with self-employed income, you do have to wait. And you mentioned a year, so you're right. That could be how long it takes to get the, you know, for the file of taxes, get the information in. But we are only able to make those payments on evidentiary earnings, which means we would have to see that information posted in the SSA's database.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. We appreciate all your questions today. And that pretty much wraps up our Q&A. Kim, thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome. We appreciate you. And on behalf of the Ticket Program Manager, I'd like to thank our presenters and everyone attending today for this informative interactive session. Now, looking ahead, we will have the next All EM Payments Call, July 25th, 2023, from 1 to 2 p.m. I'd like to thank you again for attending and have a good rest of your day.
Now, thanks, everybody.
Thank you. This concludes the All EM Payments Call. Have a great day.